Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are we ready, cousins? I think we are.
Yes.
Is it too late now to say sorry, everybody? Welcome to the Football Ramble! Tommy Tuchel is into another final, and there was some interesting refereeing in the AFCON. It's Thursday, 13th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Good to see you, Jim.
Yeah, you
good
too.
Good to see you, Petey.
Good to see you, Marcus.
Shake it off, baby.
Yeah.
Right then, chaps. We've got a semi-final to talk about. We've got international football to talk about. We've got other things and bits and pieces.
What a treat.
I know. We're living in great times.
Jam-packed.
Jim, Spurs 0, Chelsea 1. It was 3-0 on aggregate. Commiserations to Spurs. And congratulations to Chelsea. Yeah. You would agree.
It's eating my least favourite food wrapped in my other least favourite food.
Who would you prefer to win?
Actually, genuinely, Chelsea. I would say, as an institution, I dislike Chelsea more, but I hate losing to Spurs more.
What a start to the show.
So, yeah. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore, can you? But I am.
No. Peter, you're a man fueled on hatred. Has that given you a bit of energy at the start of the show?
What, just seeing Jim hate himself and hate football and hate Chelsea?
Yeah, just throwing out some hate.
Hate myself?
Don't bring that into
just seep
it?
Out? I just don't remember overtly saying it.
It's like background radiation. It's always there.
Yeah. But Chelsea are into the Carabao Cup final. They will play Liverpool or Arsenal, of course. That semi-final is this evening. It looks like it is going to go ahead. But Chelsea, they were the better side, Peter. I mean, they are a better side. There's no two ways about this. And it was fairly comfortable, even though there was a couple of VAR decisions that went against Spurs.
There was, yeah. But there were VAR decisions, I think, that were broadly correct. And Spurs, in this match, I think, only had themselves to blame. Kane could have stayed onside if he wanted to, if he wasn't just ball watching. I thought it was a very underwhelming performance from Spurs, aided by the fact that Conte decided to just throw in the subkeeper.
Yeah, that was Chelsea are responsible for a quarter of Spurs' defeats at their new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is a stat that Chelsea fans will be very pleased with.
That's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It is,
but I mean, if that's true in 100 years, Spurs will be delighted with it, right? So, Chelsea keep beating us, but we are brilliant otherwise.
Yes.
It's just a weird little anomaly, isn't
it? Would they be delighted with that?
Well, because if Chelsea...
Delighted is a strong word.
Because it would mean, surely it would mean their win percentage at home would be massive.
Yeah, it's only 3 points in the league, isn't it, really?
Well, okay. I take your point about the 3 points. So, yes. Well, there you are, Spurs fans. A bit of good news for you.
Yeah.
going forward. But yeah, Pierluigi Gullini was at fault for the first goal. And yeah, I mean, you've mentioned it there. Why was he playing, Peter? You've got the inside track, haven't you?
I don't know. Well, according to Tottenham boss Antonio Conte, he has bigger concerns than supporters' frustrations at his decision to rest captain Hugo Lloris.
there
we go. That's very much a Conte outburst, isn't it?
This is what we wanted.
We've
got to play him at some point, isn't he? And quite often, the second string playing the League Cup, even at the latter stages of it. So, you know, otherwise, they're not in Europe anymore for ridiculous reasons. So otherwise, he's not going to play that much.
He didn't play the first leg, did he?
I don't know.
Right. Would that have?
I'm just saying they were only 2-0 down, weren't they?
Yeah. If Conte, well, why did you play him? Well, I've got to play him at some point, haven't I?
Well, yeah, but that's not unfair, is it? I mean, he's a good goalkeeper. It's not like
play him at some point, though, does he?
No, but I think clubs often do this, don't they? It's not that outrageous to sort of give your second choice goalkeeper a go here and there just to keep them fresh, keep them moving. I don't know why you're so shocked by this idea of rotating your squad.
I'm not shocked, but I can't imagine a manager saying, "Well, I've got to give him a go at some point." But I understand what you mean, that keeping players interested and whatnot. It wasn't like it was 30 or 40 years ago where you could have a subkeeper. I mean, they don't even have to go over that, but I'm sure there are modern-day examples. But I think years ago, if you were the number two... Like, I once worked with a guy who was the number two Arsenal goalkeeper for years behind... who would it have been?
Bernard Seaman?
No. But further back, one of their sort of legendary goalkeepers. And but hardly ever played.
Mm.
But was just happy to be the number two because that was the career, that was the job, and... you know, beat going down the mine, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, Gullini came in with a pretty big reputation, though, isn't he? And he's fairly young. Sorry, Lloris obviously is going in the other direction age wise. Mm. Although they're going in the same direction age wise
at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time, but
it's the same.
Lloris is older. Right.
So, yeah.
So I mean, I think he is part of the succession plan, isn't he? So he has to play.
Yeah, he's got to retire at some point, isn't he?
Well,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Thomas Tuchel has said he's very confident of a new deal for Antonio Rudiger, and when Rudiger is on that type of form, Peter, heading in the ball, then they'd want to keep him. He's quite he's had a funny time because it wasn't that long ago where he was out the Chelsea side. Seems a long time ago, and he's come roaring back, and he is quite a match winner there, but he's a real solid player in that side.
I'll go back to his tweet. Hashtag clean sheet, hashtag always believe, hashtag hustle.
Yeah, exactly.
he was hustling.
He does love a hustle. There was a thing, I think it might have been Bleacher Report who did a video, and it was, I think it was Mikel Antonio, and he was like getting his hair cut, and he was chatting about various, I can't remember who it was, there was a few footballers involved. Antonio was definitely involved. I don't know if it was him who said it about Rudiger and just said, coming up again, he's just fierce. And it was like the first minute of the game or something like that. And I think he'd maybe tried to go past him and Rudiger tackled him, and he just went, "Not today, bruv." Or something like that. It was just a case of, I was like, all right, it's going to be one of those games. Yeah. Everything, bang, just smashing into tackles.
Well, on the complete flip side, and definitely going in the opposite direction, Jim. Lukaku versus Davies was an enjoyable battle. It's like Spider-Man trying to stop that train. It was very enjoyable. It was great stuff.
Well, he didn't score.
He didn't need to score.
One would certainly argue. But I think the pundits said, didn't they, Cole and Redknapp said on Sky Sports, that even if Spurs had equalised, Jim, which they were threatening to do, of course, and on another day, just margins and so on, Chelsea just could have taken it to that extra level.
Yeah, it did feel like, over both legs, actually, Chelsea didn't really need to hit their top form, which is lucky because lately they haven't been anywhere near it, have they?
So no, that's right.
Maybe they are at top form, but they're just sort of clicking back into it. But yeah, it did feel like Chelsea just sort of held them at arm's length a bit over the two games.
They did. Mm. And it's 350 days after his first day in charge, Thomas Tuchel, and he's become the first manager in Chelsea's history to guide them to Champions League final, FA Cup final and League Cup final. Now, obviously, he's only got one gold medal so far. Will he make it two? Well, perhaps.
So statistically, he's a loser.
Yes, indeed. Well, they kept going on about in semi-finals, he always wins.
Right.
But of course, you've then got to make it count in the final, which he has done, but not always. Perhaps, though, a part of the grand plan to win the League Cup final, Peter, is that Chelsea have recalled Kennedy from Flamengo.
there's a sentence
that we all just need to think about for a moment.
That is a very strange decision. I didn't even say that in the running order. That's an astonishing.
Yeah.
That's blown my mind.
Yeah.
Look, He was our best player for one season and then went completely off the boil when he got another loan. He seems to like an introduction. I don't know whether he'll get a new introduction to Chelsea. I don't know whether he'll kind of like blow the bloody doors off, but I loved him the first season. But,
do you know how old he is?
I think he's probably about 25.
He's 25 exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Spot on there.
Thanks, guys.
I would have thought any older points. Before I googled that, but yeah, clearly no, I don't know how time works today.
So. You are struggling a bit with that, aren't you? Did you see that Antonio Conte has said that Spurs must sign another centre-forward at a similar level to Harry Kane if they want to compete for silverware?
Yeah. Now, no one's told him.
Yeah. Have they? That's quite...
About Spurs.
Yeah, or Kane wanting to leave. I mean, it is... Yeah, the trouble is Kane is obviously such an obvious starter. And to sign another player of even near that quality, they want to start games. You're not going to get that, are you?
No, I mean, well, surely he just means a forward.
Yeah, but maybe having two of them, we can kind of rotate them, surely.
Yeah, Kane will definitely be pleased with that.
Genuinely, if you get a player who's of the quality of Kane and Son to compliment the two of them, then you're in business then.
And Kane can't complain if he's not scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's true, yeah. I mean, look, Spurs have improved under Conte, there's no doubt about that. But you look at that team and you think, what is the ambition for this side? Now, clearly this season they're in the race for fourth spot. I don't think anybody could argue that the top three are the top three, very much so this season. And possibly even next season, she'll have to wait and see. But it's a tricky one for Spurs at the moment, Jim, because the League Cup was an opportunity. Yeah. They play a better side in the semi-final. They've been beaten. Mm. Okay, there you go. But where do they go? What now is the plan? Because Conte, he will be able to improve them even more going forward, you would say. But how much can he squeeze out of them other than a fourth spot?
Well,
I think
fourth is the ambition, isn't it? Because then if they get that, you get back in the Champions League, you get that you're more attractive to teams. Mm-hmm. And Spurs under Conte being in London with that amazing new stadium, they will be an attractive proposition if they've got Champions League football as well. So that's the aim, absolutely. It's to get into the Champions League, stay there for a sustained period again and build from there and try and get yourself into a position where you can have a pop at the title, which is, you know, seems to be getting harder and harder for everyone outside like the top three, essentially.
Since Leicester won it, it's been really hard.
In a way, yeah, it has. Everyone's been like, no more of this nonsense. No, absolutely not. We want to know what we're going to get. But yeah, I think that's the same of everyone trying to break back into the top four, really, isn't it? You could say the same is true of Man United, same is true of Arsenal to a degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Signings are crucial, though. I mean, although reports have come out that Barcelona apparently was stunned by Spurs' decision to pay $26 million last summer for Emerson Royal.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, when Barcelona are laughing at you for economic reasons, you've got to really...
Did you hear about the complication with Ferran Torres?
Oh, go on.
Which was when Barcelona signed him, there was an issue where they still owed City, I think, 1.5 million euros for Denis Suarez.
All right.
Who they signed from them in 2013?
Yeah.
Still haven't paid it.
You get those odd quirks in football,
you
don't
do, you? But like... That's a long time to have that money outstanding, isn't it?
It is.
Hard you ask. Kind of contract.
Oh, dear. Gentlemen, the game was paused late on after a medical emergency in the stands. For anybody watching would have noticed that would have happened. Obviously, it was a pause in play. But thankfully, the person who suffered the medical issue was able to walk out the stadium with the assistance of medics. So well done to those medics again.
Good news.
Always, absolutely. Well, we talk about the race for fourth place. West Ham United beat Norwich City 2-0, sort of fairly routine stuff, as you would expect. David Moyes said before the game that he wants to continue to annoy the bigger rivals going for that spot. And they are annoying them. There's no doubt about that. And Jared Bowen got himself a couple of goals. Might have had one or two more, although I want to accentuate the positive here. And David Moyes said he's knocking on the door for an England call-up.
You'd
Jim
have to
Campbell.
Agree, yeah.
I mean, 8 goals in all competitions this season. What is it, 10 assists in all as well?
Those are amazing numbers, aren't they? I knew he was having a good season. When you see it written down like that, it's really, really
It is
effective.
Impressive. Well, it's the most goal involvements of any English player operating in the top flight. It's even more than Harry Kane, Peter.
And I look forward to Rashford, Greenwood, pulling on that England shirt at the end of the season.
Well, I mean,
to be fair to Southgate, he has rewarded good form, hasn't he? He said he would do, and he has done.
Uh-huh. And those two players
have been involved
in England's setup.
The issue is that there aren't many opportunities.
Well, I think Moyes said that, didn't he? He said, well, there's Grealish, there's Sancho, There's Foden, did he say? And he went, that's just off the top of my head, you know. Yeah. So you look at those types of positions. But in terms of what he's doing at club level, I mean, it is very, very good. Mm. You know, I mean, as I say, a couple of goals, could have been one or two more, but he's getting those positions. And he's adding goals because Antonio, we know, is a good forward and provides a lot of strength and provides his, you know, the odd assist and the odd goal. But his goal scoring isn't that prolific. So you need to have people chipping in with goals. We know Lanzini chips in a little bit, and you know, even at 4-0, and obviously from the penalty spot, Noble and so on. So this is a very much a welcome thing for West Ham.
Well, right? I sort of like the way that sort of Liverpool Twitter, because obviously Jurgen Klopp is apparently interested. Like he's
is that
some,
true? I mean, how?
Well, like he's some unknown player that like he's playing West Ham. Yeah, but like, yeah. Well, exactly. So like I think it was 80 million, 19 million that they spent on him a couple of years ago from Hull. Like,
yeah.
So people are sort of expecting that if Liverpool swoop in, he'll have no choice but to go. Mm. Like West Ham are a decent side playing at an excellent level, and they may very well play Champions League next year. Why the hell would you fucking move? I'm not saying he will.
Well, I mean,
but a lot of Liverpool fans are saying that he will well because he'll have no choice.
Though, wouldn't it?
I don't think
tempting.
You'd be in a genuine title race. Mm. I mean, when you more say, often than you would be at West Ham with respect to them.
When you say, why on earth would we go? I mean, I don't think West Ham fans would be annoyed if I said that Liverpool's a definite step up from West Ham.
All right, well, that's at Marcus Speller on Twitter.
Come and get me, lads.
Throw a dildo at him.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, though, is that what their bargaining chip was with Mo Salah? With his, well, if you don't, we'll sign Jared Bowen. Because I don't think he'd be that scared about that, to be honest with you. That's no disrespect for Bowen, of course. There was an extraordinary moment towards the end of this game when Tim Krul wrestled or sort of gave it a stranglehold to Nikola Vlasic to the floor on the goal line.
Yeah.
And both ended up tumbling into the goal. And I thought, I mean,
thought we solved this one. It was almost a goal line, whether it was over the goal line or not, decision.
The goal line technology went off.
Yeah, because he dragged him into the net.
Did a Vlasic cross the line? Yes, he did.
Tim Krul just loves a little moment like that, doesn't he?
He loves. He's wonderfully mad.
Did he think there was a penalty shootout coming up or something? I don't know. But it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
Where's
the consistency?
Look, I don't think many people are saying this enough, Jim, but where's the consistency?
Yeah.
Where's the VAR? That's just not there. What's it for?
Clearly and obviously not on.
Indeed, yeah. We turn our attention, though, to Norwich City, who were obviously beaten for the sixth time on the trot. They haven't scored a league goal in all that time. 540 minutes, if you want to know, to be precise. They've scored 8 goals all season. The same amount as Jared Bowen has scored on his own in all competitions, although that's only in the league for Norwich City. Mm. It's damning. It really is damning. And surely this is where, and you see this from a few people who are big on the Norwich City scene on social media and so on, they have the regrettable decision now to think, right, do we spend 20 million in the transfer window? And you sort of buy a couple of journeymen or you buy players who then won't want to be there come the summer. And then you have to go, you've got big wages and blah, 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 and you have to get rid of them and all that rigmarole. Or do you already start planning for life in the Championship? And it's January.
Yeah,
it's a tricky one.
I think
one.
You sort of hedge your bets, don't you? You try and sign players that are going to improve you now that might also stick around, which is that really limits the profile of player you can go after. It's so, so tricky, as you say.
They basically want a young Darren Huckabee back, is what you're saying. Yeah. It is bad. I mean, Todd Cantwell wasn't in the squad again. Now, Dean Smith said he was not in the squad in the previous game due to illness. He wasn't at all involved. It could be the same reason, genuinely could be. There is speculation that he might be on the move to Newcastle, as every player seems to be. I think Max Aarons is another one who might be going on to Newcastle.
It's actually quite a canny strategy from Newcastle, isn't it? To like weaken those around you even more.
Yeah, true. But I mean, Cantwell, he's not been playing that much this season. He's been fairly underwhelming, as they all have, quite frankly, in Norwich City. But he's been a big player for them in recent season. It'd be a shame for those Norwich fans to see him go if he does. But again, it's such a bleak situation there, really.
Have we covered Farker to Russia?
No.
Farker and his team are now managing in Russia.
Is that right?
And I've Googled the word for topics in Russian, and it's Temi.
Temi,
I think.
We're very good on the Temis.
Temi on the telly.
I'm sure to pluralise a word in Russian, it's not just add an S on the end like it is in English. But there we are. All right, so which team is he at?
FK Krasnodar. Is it Krasnodar?
Krasnodar.
Big time.
They were in the Champions League last season.
They were.
Yeah, you see. So there we are. There's, you know,
There's life always, after Norwich.
I was about to say.
There's life yeah. after Norwich,
if you're
guys.
Listening, just not Cantwell. In Norwich.
Not at the moment, Jim, sadly for them. Speaking of transfers, David Moyes said that defensive reinforcement is needed as Agbonna is out for the rest of the season. Zouma is still to return, although Cresswell returning was a plus. So we shall see what West Ham will do in the January transfer window. And that will be interesting to see what they do, because they are in a good position now. They are going for fourth. Mm. And to strengthen is important, because we see teams reasonably often have a good first half of the season, then they kind of run out of steam a little bit. We wouldn't want to see that with West Ham, speaking from a neutral point of view. So we shall see. Now, apparently West Ham are interested in Flamengo's Gabigol. And that's a nickname, by the way. Newcastle were apparently looking at him as well for the South American striker. But when he was been linked to West Ham, a Brazilian pundit said, "Honestly, I doubt Gabigol even knows who David Moyes is," yeah. Which is quite disrespectful.
Unhelpful.
Presumably, he would know who West Ham are, though.
I cannot begin to speak for Gabriel Barbosa's knowledge of the Premier League. I just wanted to say his name, though.
Yeah, that's
is,
nice.
It is the most footballer name, I think, that has ever been. It's fantastic. It's interesting because he has had a spell in Europe before. He was at Inter in 2016, and he went online to Benfica as well. He played 15 games across those two clubs and scored a goal for each. It wasn't a great return.
Yeah.
But he has been prolific in Brazil, and obviously he's older and wiser and better now, you would think. So be really interesting to see if he does come to Europe, even if not at West Ham. Be an amazing coup if they can get him. But yeah, as you say, it's like the time for them to spend is now. Mm. Like if ever there is time to like spend money to make money, it's now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there, Jimmy. All right then, let's have a quick break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
...2021 was a year like no other in European football.
And 2022 promises to be even more eventful.
On the Continent is your weekly guide to all the biggest stories across Europe.
But what was highlighted again in this game against Malmo was just how desperately that team needs something different up front. Alvaro Morata is not right now the number nine they need, and I don't think Moise Kean is either.
We're joined by the best European football experts to get to the bottom of the stories at the top of your newsfeed.
I think Real Madrid is a very logical place for him to go, and if you want that to be an option, it's not a bad idea to make Real Madrid think that you might go to Barcelona.
for from Haaland's side of it, it's very beneficial that Barcelona are at least pretending they can afford him.
Come join us every Thursday on Football Ramble Presents.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Did you get that, everybody? Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
What was that?
Local commentary of Faroe Islands under 21 scoring with their only shot against France.
Oh, okay, nice. Right, I see.
A lot to like about that. Righto, it's time for emails.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
Pete the Tit. Hey, Frankie Rogan. On the story of his name.
Whoa.
As you might see from my email address, my name is Frankie Rogan. And quite often I get asked, what's Frankie short for? To which I would reply, it's short for nothing. This is for some reason always leading to the person not believing me. And the exchange happened so often that I even started questioning my own name and if it was indeed Frankie. So in my early 20s, I went to my mum and asked her if my name was actually Frankie. Was I born with this name?
Did you not have a passport? Yeah.
I know, right? To my shock, I was told that I was born Josh. Yep, not Frankie, as I've always been called, but some random name I have no affiliation to. Josh. I asked why and when it was changed. Now, those listening who are regular diners at Curry Houses might have put two and two together, with my last name being Rogan and my first name being Josh. After a couple of weeks after my birth, my parents realised they had indeed named their child after a curry. safe to say, it's traumatised me so much that I've never been able to eat a lamb Rogan Josh since the incident. To top it off, after making the mistake of telling my mates about it now, they only refer to me as Josh.
Oh, no.
So much I've started to respond to it more than my actual name of Frankie.
That's so weird.
That's wonderful.
There was just a general suspicion.
So they actually
something about this guy. I don't think this is this guy's name. And they were right. What on earth? But they didn't, yeah. What would they have, what's Frankie short for? Fun time Frankie? No,
yeah.
Josh.
It's long for Frank.
I never think about that. Yeah. Very strange, very strange.
Lovely.
So Andrew Jones has also been in touch. He said, just listen to Monday's show where you discussed ways to improve the ref going over to the VAR monitor and the inclusion of flares, as in large sparklers rather than trousers. My suggestion is to simply bolt a flat screen TV to the club mascot's stomach like some modern day Teletubby. Mm. The mascot then runs over to the ref where he can view the footage. Imagine it. The ref's looking at the mascot's stomach, turns and blows his whistle to give a goal, and the mascot starts going mental in the centre of the pitch. Or if the decision is overturned, the sad mascot slowly walks back to the side of the pitch with his head down in despair.
I really like that idea.
Yeah.
Because it just gives the mascot a little bit more.
Yeah.
The mascot
involves him.
Yeah, indeed. It saves the referee from running over. The mascot might fall over at some point.
You've got to treat your mascots kindly. It's like when you give a dog a job and it loves it.
Yeah, indeed. Show at footballramble.com. We'll tweet this at footballramble for that kind of thing. Right then, Pete Donaldson. What's it time for?
It's time for this. I can't pick up the iPad. It's time for this.
Press the right bleeding button.
This is the right bleeding button.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's not, is it?
Flipping Nora.
Sorry, well, it wasn't at the top of the screen.
Just leave it.
The screen, look, I tried to drag the screen down. Just it goes back up. I can't press it, look.
When you said sorry, you didn't need to follow up with any more words.
How do I press it? How do I press that button? The button just disappears.
Don't you label these.
I prefer to kill him.
It's time for this, Portmantonio Conte.
Yes.
Two footballers mashed together. All you need to do is tell me who the flip we're talking about. From Gavin McHugh. Thank you, Gavin, for these clues. Gavin McClues. They are harder to make than you'd expect, though that might be because I'm tired, he says.
Okay, this would be a shocking one.
Stepping up.
Yeah, and he knows what kind of administrator of this game I am, because he writes, read this question part out before the answer part. Thank you for that. Yeah, good. All right, first clue. We are both FA Cup winners. I was goalkeeper of the team that won in 2008, and I was an attacking midfielder for the Arsenal team that won in 2013, 14 and 17.
2008, Pompey?
David James. David James, Santi Cazorla.
Aaron Ramsey could have...
David James.
Sorry, what's the first one?
I don't know it was anymore.
Was it Pompey in 08?
I don't know.
The answer is David James at Ozil.
Oh,
which...
He's right.
Gavin is tired. Yeah. I think Gavin is tired personally.
It works, though. It works.
Does it? Jimenez? Yeah. Only if it's you say Jimenez.
Written down, it does.
It's written down, it does, but that's not what we're playing.
David James at Ozil.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, I did then. Say these are hard to put together.
Yeah. Well, this game.
All right, then. Here's your next one.
Barely a game.
We have both been part of historic thrashings. I scored Brazil's only goal in its 7-1-2 defeat in Germany to Germany, and I was red carded in Arsenal's 8-2 defeat to Man United.
That's the wrong one.
No, that's the wrong one.
Oh, is it Carl Jenkinson, I think, was sent off in that game?
Who scored
the
bloody
debut?
Goal for Brazil?
So someone Carl...
No, it doesn't have to be like that.
Is it?
Oh, I can't bleeding remember.
Jen.
That's poor. That's really poor.
I don't
remember those anymore. Go on, put us out of misery.
I relish the moment where I get to say Oscar Jenkinson.
Oh, Oscar.
Well done, Gavin. Thank you very much for those slightly wonky clues.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, there we are.
Yep.
We're all losers in that. Well, we appreciate it, though. Lovely stuff, everybody. Right now, we move on to the AFCON.
Mm.
And it's the AFCON.
It is.
I'd like to state the African Cup of Nations. Tunisia were beaten 1-0 by Mali. Nothing more to say on that.
That was it. Fairly straightforward.
My goodness, yes. The referee, Gianni Sikazwe, blew the whistle early twice during the game. Now, we should immediately say that there are one or two reports saying that he had heat stroke.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense, but...
It's no excuse for that red card, person. That was,
it was
nonsense.
Still pretty
mad,
shambolic and mad. Yeah, he ended the game 11 seconds before the 90th minute, after he had already tried to end the game in the 85th minute of the match.
Yeah.
Before being convinced to carry on.
Got somewhere to be, mate.
He really did. I mean, it was pretty crazy, wasn't it? So obviously Tunisia were rather
table
unhappy.
Table booked at Bella Italia. Come on.
Tunisia rather unhappy with the and then I think even he thought, yeah, I'm taking the piss. All right, well, let's just crack on. There's no injury time, is there? Even though he'd obviously sent off a player a few minutes before.
And there'd been a pretty big VAR break as
there
well.
There should have been 5 or 6
at least
minutes.
3 or 4 minutes. Mm. Yeah,
indeed.
But to be fair, have you ever had heat stroke?
Yes,
it's far worse than it sounds.
Yeah, well, you know, if they are the reports, but I mean. What then ensued? So if he has had that, I mean, I don't, obviously not privy to the conversations between all the officials, but what was it? Something like 20 to 30 minutes after the full-time whistle, the fourth official then says, right, well, I'll have a go.
Yeah. But this is during a press conference as well. Certainly a press conference was interrupted for them to say, actually, we're going to do the final bit of the game.
Well, that's why it was a Tunisia who refused to come back out again because they'd already had their ice baths and stuff. We're not doing that.
There's a rule in place that a game can be replayed if the full 90 isn't completed. But I mean, I very much doubt that that will happen.
I think there's a precedent set that before, I think it might even have been in AFCON as well, but the referee's kind of whistle kind of stands as the end of the game, no matter when.
I'd be surprised if it is replayed. Tunisia could have been thinking to themselves, do you know what, let's not bother because we might be able to get something out of this. But their manager did say that the players, as you say, had been in their ice bath. So they were just in no fit state to go back on. So it was quite strange because Mali then retook to the field, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, Tunisia aren't playing. All right, I think we've won. Everybody get back on the bus quickly. we can claim the victory.
He was the first Zambian to referee World Cup finals.
At a World Cup final.
But I don't think he'll be doing a match again, personally.
Yeah. I mean, but as you say, he's refereed at the highest level. Mm. So perhaps that does lend credence to the heat stroke report.
If we want to know exactly how, I mean, obviously we've seen pretty hot World Cups in the past. 94, obviously.
We're going to see another one this year.
We're going to see another one. Like, you look at how many goals have been scored in this goddamn tournament. Yeah. 12 matches. It's pretty low.
And also, with Gambia and Mauritania in the group, you would think that Tunisia might fancy the chances of getting two wins there. But it has been very low scoring. It's taken a while to sort of get going, really. Nigeria-Egypt was a pretty good game, even though that was fairly low scoring. But you often see this in tournaments, don't you? The first round of games, just people don't want to lose.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit cagey.
Yeah.
Playing
I'm loving it, though. Gambia Zambia won their first match at African Cup of Nations. Amazing. Lovely, lovely goal as well.
It was, yeah. The keeper was a little bit flat-footed, but yeah, it was a good strike. By the way, we should say well done to the Malian goalkeeper for saving the penalty.
Yes. Great save.
It was a great save indeed.
And also, it's amazing that the crowds have been very low, as we've discussed, but the atmosphere, everyone's brought an amazing band. Who are really fun.
We've seen the Pop Man at Ghana. I know the original Pop Man sadly passed away a number of years ago, but you know the legacy of
we love to see it.
Exactly, yeah. Like we wanted this to be the case with the Colombian Birdman, didn't we?
I think it was the case, was it not? I think there were generations of the Colombian Birdman.
May well have been. We think it's like the Phantom, don't we? That you know, you
just carries on.
Yeah, it can't be
someone
the same
else takes up the mantle.
Can't be the same bloke. All those years ago.
You see, the Mauritanian national anthem was played incorrectly twice. And then in the end, they just told them to try and sing it a cappella and the players refused. It's just, this is why AFCON is always a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's wonderfully mad.
Is this, I'm going to say this, Tom Saint-Fiet, the Belgian, I think he's Belgian manager of Gambia, does run slightly of the comic book store guy in The Simpsons.
Oh, right, okay. If he was a bit fatter, maybe.
Yeah.
He looks more like a hairy biker for me. Well, now he's slimmed down a bit.
That's fair, that's fair. Yeah. Mm. I hope nobody connected to that man listened to that.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
It's not a compliment, really, what I said. yes, Ivory Coast, they beat Equatorial Guinea 1-0. They're not the side of yesteryear, of course, but got some decent players. Max Gradle scoring. Nicolas Pepe and Wilf Saha were on the bench.
Yeah. Also, you got Sebastian Allaire. Banging in goals in the Champions League.
Eric Bailly at the back.
Eric Bailly.
Some recognisable names in there, people.
Frank Kessie as well.
Mm-hmm. There was that guy the cool specs and there's a guy with some cool specs.
Oh, yes.
Like crazy kind of like loads of Ivorian flags sticking out of his head and then these crazy glasses. So he's got the glasses that's celebrating the fact that it's now 2022. But most of the time, with the 2000s, we've been able to kind of like have the two glasses being the zeros in the 2000s, aren't we? But now we're in the teens, and now we're in the 20s. They're finding it more difficult to make it look good. So he's basically got 200 and then 22 on top of the glasses. He looked wonderfully mad.
That's beautiful, isn't it? That is beautiful.
Love that guy.
It will be interesting to see what Gambia, or the Gambia, as sometimes people like to say, can do at the tournament. They're the lowest ranked team ever to qualify. 150th in the FIFA rankings.
They had a lot of chances that they could have put away. They were profligate. It's sort of a word that we only use in football.
Yes.
So we're not really profligate with the word profligate, are we? Really? We could use it elsewhere, couldn't we?
That is very, very true. So we shall see what they had. But it's building up nicely, as you say. Low scoring first round of games. But that can often be the case, Jim, as you said. So we shall see what we've got in store for the next round of games. Back to more domestic matters, gentlemen. Some transfer stories. Chris Wood's move to Newcastle. Was confirmed this morning. Lucas Digne's switch to Aston Villa has also been confirmed. Now, Digne sent a message out to Everton supporters yesterday thanking them and explaining his departure. When I say explaining his departure, he sort of alluded to it, really. Because he said long message and said, thank you for your support. It's been great since I've been here. The Everton fans have been wonderful. You know, very, very positive towards the club. And then finish by saying, sometimes it only takes one person from outside to destroy a beautiful love affair.
Just sit on that one for a day. Do you know what I mean?
Who do we think?
Sit on that and think, oh, is that a bit strong?
I mean, it's not Duncan Ferguson he's talking about, is it?
You're not Lady Diana. There's someone else in this relationship.
Who's he alluding to, Peter?
I'd have not a clue. Not got a clue.
Could it be Rafa the
Gaffer?
Could
it be Rafa the Gaffer? Could it be?
Yeah, but it is a shame for him, though. But then Benitez said, you know, he's being selfish and needs to think about the team more. And it's like, yeah, he would probably argue that he wants to play for the team. And you're going, no, stop being selfish.
Don't play. Yeah, it's a complicated one.
Yeah, but it is often the case in football, isn't it? When they say, well, he's being selfish. You know, it's like, well, he does want to play for the team, presumably. So it's one story against the other. More uplifting news, though, talking of transfers. This is where we go abroad. King Kazu rides again, Petey Donaldson.
Yes, please.
You cannot keep a good man down, as we often say on this
Born
podcast.
Born before the moon landings.
Yeah, he signed a contract.
Technically, we're all born before the moon landings. Didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I see. Kazuyoshi Miura has signed a contract with fourth-tier Japanese side, Suzaki Point Getters.
Yeah.
Getting those points.
The Suzaka Point Getters. Japanese football teams, as I said before, they're underrated. They're up there with the best like African league side names where they're a bit mad.
Because this translates so strangely. Point getters.
Yeah, the point getters. Well, they're interesting because I think 2 or 3 years ago, they had the only woman manager in J League. And when does that ever happen in any league, really? But they used to be called, I love this, they used to be called Rampole, named after a Japanese mystery writer called Rampo, with the word Rampo concatenated to Ole, right?
Okay.
But his full name, so he's a mystery writer, and his full name is Edgar Rampo, which sounds like a Japanese name, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. He was just obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh.
Edgar Rampo. Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh,
Edgar
Allan Poe.
So the team were named after Edgar Allan Poe in a weird kind of way.
It's really
and now
weird.
They're the Suzaka point getters.
It's amazing, that, isn't it?
Edgar Rampo.
Amazing.
Bloody love that. Bloody love that. My goodness.
But is, I mean, King Kazoo's brother is the manager, so like he's probably going to get more games than he really deserves.
How are you going to get us out of the fourth tier? Well, I'm going to sign a 54-year-old. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I just, 54.
It's right. 54.
just think, like, if he stopped playing football, like, he's worried that he'll just, like, get on the pies, you know? He'll just be like, that's...
My legs ache thinking about him playing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
He goes to Guam every summer to work on his fitness.
All right.
It's a lovely place to do your fitness.
Anyway. That is a lovely place. What have they got there? What's in the water?
Has he found some magic item?
Yeah, he's found like this.
He has to go and top it up every year.
Yes, he has.
I mean, if you watch him play, he hasn't. he hasn't, Jim.
He's 54.
He is 54.
All right, have a bit of respect.
Have a bit of respect.
Crying out ruddy loud. Made his debut in 1986.
I think it was like...
Stunning.
What would have been this... I think it was in the 1970 World Cup. I think which the one was in Brazil.
Well, 50 was in Brazil.
No,
70 was in Mexico. Brazil won it.
Yeah, 70 Mexico. His dad went over because he had connections out there, and he filmed all of the matches on Super 8.
Did he?
And brought it home, and that's how he got into football.
Oh wow, that all makes sense in the end. Gentlemen, tonight, as you say, Liverpool and Arsenal are facing off in the League Cup semi-final. Dirk Kuyt, former Liverpool man, has instructed Liverpool to just win, no questions asked.
Yeah.
What question was someone wanting to...
Do Arsenal not have a midfield? Don't worry about that. They don't, but don't worry about it. Just go and win.
Yeah, well, this is in light of their poor domestic cup record under Jurgen Klopp. So he wants to see those Liverpool boys just get it done. It's quite surprising, actually. Klopp's domestic cup record isn't that great, but they have a chance to make it right tonight.
I'm sure their shareholders are gutted, absolutely gutted.
Yeah. What do you think of Arsenal's chances, Jim? Sadio Mane and Mo Salah are obviously not there.
Yeah, that's obviously a boost, but obviously Arsenal themselves are missing a lot of players. I don't yet know what the situation with Granit Xhaka is. If he's fit, that will be very, very helpful. Otherwise, the midfield is going to be very, very makeshift. It's going to be Sambi Lokonga and possibly either Odegaard or Smith Rowe, like in a more withdrawn role. But Smith Rowe's been carrying an injury as well, which is why he's not been playing as much as you might expect lately. So it's the personnel is really, really limited. So it's going to have to. The midfield is going to be a patched up compromise, essentially, which against Liverpool is far from ideal, whatever team they put out. So I think this is going to be a challenge tonight.
You hear about Granit Xhaka there that Roma might go for him.
Yes.
Might sign him in June.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho apparently said that his feeling to sign the player has never stopped.
I'm not surprised by that at all. I think Xhaka is a warrior, isn't he? And Mourinho likes players like that, that will go out and just like give it everything.
Who he can wind up.
Who he can wind up, yeah.
And they don't get too... Yeah, because he's obviously had a recent outburst, of course, with his Roma players saying they're mentally weak.
Yeah.
He said that at Spurs. He said that at Manchester United. He said that at Chelsea when it all went wrong.
Funny, he comes into clubs, bullies everyone. It's like, these guys are very weak.
Yeah. I'm trying to punch you all into being better players and you're not really responding to it. Well, Jim, it'd be interesting to see if Xhaka left Arsenal, where would they go from there? But until that happens, we won't talk about that.
Well, you know, it's a funny one. People were like, oh, we need to upgrade Xhaka. And we do. He's a flawed player, definitely. But
I'm very intrigued as to who that player is going to be when it comes in. I just can't imagine an Arsenal without Granit Xhaka. It just like I'm so resigned to he will outlive me. Like he will be playing for. He'll be King Kazu in my mind. He's just always going to be there.
I see what you mean?
And I've come to accept it.
Well, if you
love him and all his flaws, apart from. All his flaws.
Yeah, exactly. Well, will he go to Roma? We shall see. Well, Serie A will certainly feature today, everybody, in today's episode of On the Continent. Don and Andy are joined by Nicky Bandini to discuss last night's Italian Super Cup between Inter and Juventus. Last-minute winner from that former Arsenal man, Alexis Sanchez. And there's much, much more on the show. So get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. There we are. We've reached the end of this Football Ramble podcast, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to it. Part of the Acast Creator Network, of course, we are. And on tomorrow's show, it's Kate, Andy and Luke. Promises to be a classic, I tell you. There we are. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.